epistle lesson today is from Romans 8, and I'm going to focus on verses 14 to 17, so I'm going to read those verses for you today. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon this place, upon our hearts and our lives. Help us to hear from you and know that you are in this place. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Does that describe you? Do you think of yourself as a child of God? Do you think of yourself as being led by the Spirit of God? Because that's who we are. Being a child of God is actually our identity. Kind of like the little name tags that you stick on and it says, my name is child of God. That's who we are. We follow Jesus Christ and we are beloved children of God, all of us. But we don't always live that way, do we? Some of us have had parents who told us that we are beloved children, much like God did to Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan. When he was baptized, this voice came down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." Some people have had parents who said things like that. "You are my beloved child. I love you. I'm proud of you." But some people have not had that. Not at all. For those who have not heard those words from an earthly father or mother, it can be heartbreaking to hear the words from another parent as they love their child. We all long to receive love from our parent. We all long to be beloved children, loved, accepted, honored, and respected. Doesn't it just make your day when someone says to you, "I love you"? Someone says to you, "I'm proud of you"? And how much more meaningful is that when a parent says that to a child? I remember watching a video about Malala Yousafzai, the Pakistani girl who was shot in the head by the Taliban because she championed girls' rights to an education. I remember watching this video and her and her father are sitting side by side. And it just brings tears to your eyes because he keeps saying all throughout the interview, "I love her. I love her. I knew I loved her from the first minute I saw her." It's so heartwarming to see this dad talk and gush about his daughter. He goes on to say how proud he is of her education and how he thinks she could grow up to be even more than a doctor. She could be in politics. She could help save her country. There's something so powerful about the love of a parent, isn't there? And as I was watching this video of Malala and her father, I was thinking, yes, the good and the bad that come from our parents, it's seared into our memories. That role of a parent is so powerful, and we all long to receive love from a parent, but we also long for that unconditional love. And we realize that even our loving parents, our earthly parents, are broken, fallible people who sometimes do hurt us. We all need something more. We all need that unconditional love and acceptance from God. And here in Romans 8, Paul is talking about just that. He's talking about God's love for us, telling us that we are adopted children of God. Adopted. Maybe that sounds strange to us, for God to be our adopted parent, because God is the one who made us. But adoption carries that special meaning that I was telling the kids, right? Kids that are adopted, they are chosen. We don't get to choose our natural kids and parents, but kids who are adopted, they are chosen. And so what Paul is saying is that we are chosen by God. He says, all who led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That's us. We're led by the Spirit. Remember last week's message in Romans 8, 1 to 11? There, Paul talked about how we are no longer bound to the flesh. We are free to live in the Spirit. And Paul goes on today to talk about what living in the Spirit means. He says, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. What does that mean? We're not slaves. Well, we're chosen children. But what does it mean when he talks about being a slave and living in fear? There's a great book called Sons and Daughters by Brady Boyd, and he talks about whenever we think we have to earn our way to God, whenever we think we have to work our way up to heaven, that's when we're living in slavery and fear that we're going to get something wrong, that we're going to mess up, instead of the freedom of God's grace and unconditional love. If we accept God's grace through Jesus' death and resurrection, then we have nothing more to prove and no more slavery. Max Lucado has a great illustration about living in slavery versus freedom in Christ. He talks about how one day he was dropped from his insurance company and he was pretty irritated about it. You know, he just had, I don't know, a dozen, 15, 20, who's counting how many speeding tickets? Just a few fender benders, but he gets this letter in the mail suggesting that he find coverage elsewhere for not being good enough for the insurance company. So he sits down and he starts thinking, isn't there a spiritual parallel here? He said, what if we're afraid of receiving that kind of letter from God? What if we feel like we already got that kind of letter from God? So he decided to sit down and write an imaginary letter to Mrs. Smith from the Pearly Gates Underwriting Division. Listen to this. Dear Mrs. Smith, I'm writing in response to this morning's request for forgiveness. I'm sorry to inform you that you have reached your quota of sins. Our records show that you have erred more than 7 times in the area of greed. Your prayer life is substandard when compared to others, and further review reveals that your understanding of doctrine is in the lower 20th percentile. You also have excessive tendencies to gossip. Because of your sins, you are a high-risk candidate for heaven. You understand that grace has its limits. Jesus sends his regrets and kindest regards and hopes that you will find coverage elsewhere. Do you ever worry that God sent you that kind of letter? Or are you just overwhelmed with any guilt or shame from the past? Are you living maybe as a slave instead of a free child of God? Remember that we learned in Romans 8, 1 to 11 last week that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. We do not have to live in slavery because we are free from guilt and shame. We learned that grace beats guilt every time. God's grace is so much more powerful than any guilt or shame. Grace is what frees us from slavery to sin. Grace is what helps us live by the Holy Spirit. And because we live in the Spirit, we are the children of God. Not children who have a distant Father God, but children who call God Daddy. Children who call God Daddy. That's what Paul means when he says that we cry, Abba, Father. For Abba is the Aramaic word for daddy. It's a term of endearment for a dad. It's a term of intimate relationship with God. God is our heavenly father, our dad, our daddy. That's not to say that God is just a man. God's beyond all of that. We know from Scripture, you read that Bible front to back and you'll find out that God is way beyond a man or a woman, way beyond male or female, and that sometimes there is female imagery to describe God. But Paul is using a term that people would have been familiar with in those days and times, a term for daddy. And it's the same term that Jesus uses when he is on the cross, and it's the same term that he uses to teach the disciples the Lord's Prayer. Isn't that amazing? Just think about that for a minute. That's such closeness with God. Do you ever feel that you have that closeness with God? You can. We all can. We are children so beloved that we can call God Dad. And Paul goes on to say that it's the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. This whole idea of being an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, let's think about that for a minute. One pastor said that this is kind of like realizing that one day you find out that you have a long-lost millionaire uncle who dies and leaves you his entire estate. Imagine that. That's actually our position with God. Jesus has died and left us the entire estate, all the unbelievable, unconditional love and grace. We are beloved. But how many of us really live that way? How many of us know this and believe it in our hearts? Sometimes we need to see and know the truth in writing. Can you recite any Bible verses about God's love for you? Any come to mind? Some famous ones, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Or the beautiful Isaiah 43, do not fear, I've redeemed you. I've called you by name, you are mine. When you walk through the waters and the fires of life, I will be with you. Do not be afraid, you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Last week's verse is another one, Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. One pastor who I love, David Luce, says that we should try to get this into our minds. And he suggests that we say to ourselves, I am God's beloved child, and God will use me to change the world. I am God's beloved child. Okay, let's say that. I am God's beloved child, and God will use me to change the world. God will use me to change the world. He suggests we say that to ourselves, maybe even look in the mirror and say it to yourself for 30 days, because that's how long it takes to get a new habit in your heart. But for some, it might take even longer if that's the opposite of what you've believed about yourself. Can you imagine how different our world would be if everyone believed that? If we treated each other as beloved children of God? And God refers to us as children all throughout the Bible. Jesus refers to people he's reaching out to, that he's healing, as sons and daughters. We are God's kids. The question is, do we know it and live it? In that book, Sons and Daughters by Brady Boyd, he says that if we understand our identity as children of God, then we'll know how to live. He says, moment by moment, we come to God and we say this, God, show me the me you somehow see. God, show me the me you see. Are we looking at what we see, or are we looking at what God sees in us? Because God sees a beloved child, free and forgiven and redeemed. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we see only our past or our present circumstances instead of the me God sees. We may grow up in a bad circumstance. We may be experiencing a horrible problem right now. We may be a victim in a situation, but that becomes who we are, someone who's been hurt instead of a beloved child of God. Or we get ourselves into a bad situation through poor choices. Maybe we are the ones abusing or neglecting someone else, and that becomes who we are. A mess up instead of a child of God. That's our nature, to define ourselves by our situation, our choices, and all the people around us, but God doesn't do that. In Luke 15:21, in the prodigal son story, when the prodigal son returns home to his father after squandering all of the inheritance, he comes crawling back to his dad and says this, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And what does the father do? He says, "Bring out the fatted calf. Put a robe on this man and a ring on his finger. My son who was lost has been found, and we are having a party." That's how God feels about us. But do you know what the Bible says to you as a child of God? Maybe you need a pencil to write a few verses down. Today's is so important. Romans 8:14-17. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And if children, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Galatians 3:26 says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith." These verses remind us that nothing we have done, nothing that has been done to us, defines us. Our family and our circumstances may try to describe us, but they do not define us. Only God does that, and we know who we are in God. We are free from everything else. We're free to be the people God called us to be, people who will change the world, children of God. In September 1862, Abraham Lincoln announced the Emancipation Proclamation, freeing all slaves beginning January 1st, 1863. And when that day dawned, instead of rushing into their newfound freedom, many of the slaves stayed put. Slavery was all they'd known. No matter what people told them, they couldn't believe they were actually free. Government officials would come knocking, saying, "This is no lie. Get your belongings and leave. You are free." And still, some would stay, just like some of us do today. Instead of believing that we are free from our past and present, sometimes we live as slaves. Galatians 4:7 says, "You are no longer a slave. You are a child. And if a child, then also an heir." We're no longer slaves. We live by the Spirit. We live as children of God, as heirs with Jesus. Does that mean that life with God is going to be easy? No. No. Paul specifically says that in Romans 8:17-18. He says, "In fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him." Paul says, "I consider, though, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory about to be revealed to us." Life with God is not necessarily easy or free from suffering. We know that this side of heaven, we live in a world that is fallen and broken and messed up, and we will suffer. But we will also see the glory of God. And the suffering we experience now is nothing compared to the glory that awaits us in heaven. Isn't that great news? There's lots of good news today. We're led by the Spirit. We're chosen. We're God's kids. We're forgiven and free. So may we all praise God and let all the people say, Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed on page 35 of your hymnal.